Let us say this also to him who mourns and misses the untimely dead, that all of us, whether young or old, live, in comparison with eternity, on the same level as regards our shortness of life. For out of all time there comes to us less than what anyone could call least, since least is at any rate some part. But this life of ours is next to nothing. And yet, fools that we are, we marshal it in broad array. These words I have written to you, not with the idea that you should expect a cure from me at such a late date. For it is clear to me that you have told yourself everything that you will read in my letter, but with the idea that I should rebuke you, even for the slight delay during which you lapsed from your true self, and should encourage you for the future to rouse your spirit against fortune, and to be on the watch for all her missiles, not as if they might possibly come, but as if they were bound to come. Farewell. Letter 100 On the Writings of Fabianus. You write me that you have read with the greatest eagerness the work by Fabianus Papirius entitled The Duties of a Citizen, and that it did not come up to your expectations. Then, forgetting that you are dealing with a philosopher, you proceed to criticize his style. Suppose now that your statement is true, that he pours forth rather than places his words. Let me, however, tell you at the start that this trait of which you speak has a peculiar charm, and that it is a grace appropriate to a smoothly gliding style. For, I maintain, it matters a great deal whether it tumbles forth or flows along. Moreover, there is a deal of deference in this regard also, as I shall make clear to you. Fabianus seems to me to have not so much an efflux as a flow of words. So copious is it, without confusion, and yet not without speed. This is indeed what his style declares and announces, that he has not spent a long time in working his matter over and twisting it into shape. But even supposing the facts are as you would have them, the man was building up character rather than words, and was writing those words for the mind rather than for the ear. Besides, had he been speaking them in his own person, you would not have had time to consider the details. The whole work would have so swept you along. For as a rule, that which pleases by its swiftness is of less value when taken in hand for reading. Nevertheless, this very quality, too, of attracting at first sight, is a great advantage, no matter whether careful investigation may discover something to criticize. If you ask me, I should say that he who has forced approval is greater than he who has earned it, and yet I know that the latter is safer. I know that he can give more confident guarantees for the future. A meticulous manner of writing does not suit the philosopher. If he is timid as to words, when will he ever be brave and steadfast? When will he ever really show his worth? Fabianus's style was not careless, it was assured. That is why you will find nothing shoddy in his work. His words are well chosen and yet not hunted for. They are not unnaturally inserted and inverted, according to the present-day fashion. But they possess distinction, even though they are taken from ordinary speech. There you have honorable and splendid ideas, not fettered into aphorisms, but spoken with greater freedom. We shall, of course, notice passages that are not sufficiently pruned, not constructed with sufficient care, and lacking the polish which is in vogue nowadays. But after regarding the whole, you will see that there are no futile subtleties of argument. There may, doubtless, be no variety of marbles, no water supply which flows from one apartment to another, no pauper rooms, or any other device that luxury adds when ill content with simple charms. But, in the vulgar phrase, it is a good house to live in. Furthermore, opinions vary with regard to the style. Some wish it to be polished down from all roughness, and some take so great a pleasure in the abrupt manner that they would intentionally break up any passage which may by chance spread itself out more smoothly, scattering the closing words in such a way that the sentences may result unexpectedly. Read Cicero. His style has unity. It moves with a modulated pace, and is gentle without being degenerate. The style of Asinius Pollio, on the other hand, is bumpy, jerky, leaving off when you least expect it. And